So I got my annual phone call from Andy Gingrich a few weeks ago. Every summer he calls and says, Sam, it's about time for us to take our trip up to La Plata. So I looked at the weather, and it was going to be a hot day on Thursday and chance of storms, scattered light rain. But I thought, what the heck. It's going to be hot. I don't want to do anything else. Let's go to La Plata. So what's the draw at La Plata? Well, it's we call it the Amish Water Park, and it's quite a deal. So I'm going to give you a rundown of what we did a couple weeks ago on a hot Thursday afternoon going to the Amish Water Park. When I went through Higbee at 2:15 in the afternoon, it was 97 degrees. Andy said, better bring your van. I only know of three people that are going to be going, but that three people always seems to expand to about 10. So I was driving in my old 94 Ford van, Chevy van, purple, rusting out at the under the doors and no air conditioning. But other than that, it's in good shape. It's only got 55,000 miles, so heading over to Amish country in my van on a hot day. We got there, and we threw five bales of hay in the back. True to form, Andy said, yeah, our three for sure's has expanded to about 10. So we started wandering around Clark, picking up a guy here, a guy there. They'd grab their black swimming suits, kiss their mama, their wife and kids goodbye, grab a water jug and off and into the van they'd go. And they'd say, let's get this buggy going. It is hot back here. Get some air moving. At one stop, it was kind of different. Mary Gingrich and her baby Rachel jumped in. And I thought, what's this all about? She says, oh, I'm going to go along and you can drop me off at the variety store west of La Plata. I've got kin there and I'm going to spend time with them while you guys are over at the water park. So she was all set to jump in the back of the van. I said, well, wait a minute. Andy was riding shotgun. I said, Andy, you getting back? Mary and the baby need to be up front here with me. So hopped up and away we went. Before too long, we were on 63 and heading north. I got my old van up to road speed, 90 miles an hour, and pretty good breeze going through the van. The guys were busy yakking and laughing and back in German. I had learned long ago when I was delivering milk on a hot day, the way to stay cool in a van is to buy a bag of ice and put it up there in front and just keep eating ice during the whole trip. And so I was sharing ice with Mary and her baby, and it did the trick. It made us feel cool as cucumbers. Made the mistake once of sending the bag of ice back around for the guys, and when it came back, it was only about a third full of ice. So I thought, well, I better not do that again or it'll all be gone. So it was hot, but they were having a good time laughing and telling stories in German, of course, but I probably wouldn't have heard it anyway. Our destination was La Plata. We were going to be heading west out of town about 6 miles and hit Route 3. There's a small Amish community there. We dropped off Mary at what was called their variety store. Years back, I'd been there, and it was just kind of a little cubbyhole with not much in it. But now it was well-stocked with groceries and about everything you'd need for your home. It was really nice. We were heading for the what they call the Amish Water Park. It isn't really... The guy that put it together, his name is Rusty. I can't remember his last name. He works for Emery Sapson's son. He's worked for him forever. He built it for his family. but he opened it up to his Amish friends, who have more Amish friends, and so the place is frequently really hopping. Doesn't charge anything for its use, just bring your own gas to run the water pumps. So we hit Highway 3 and headed south to the first gravel road, turned right, and it took us up to Rusty's place. It's kind of funny. I live on the south end of Highway 3 where it begins, and this water park is at the north end. Shortly past it, Highway 3 disappears, peters out, doesn't exist anymore. So I traveled parallel to my home road. We were the first to arrive. Two more vehicles came along pretty quick. They added another 15 to 20 guys, all young men in their 20s, most all of them bearded, so they were married. There was a lot of bodies all of a sudden were lowering their suspenders and dropping their trowel and slipping into their black swimming pants. Long sleeves and long pants made for quite a collection of whiteness in their bodies. All summer long they wear long sleeves and long pants and big wide brimmed straw hats, so they don't get much color on their skin. Their white bodies just never see the summer sun. Halfway down their necks is a long mane of hair, and beards cover the front of their face, so there's just not much color to these guys. Their skinny bodies they're all skinny bodies, but they're well equipped for tough, brawny work. They've got farmer's muscles, and they're used to throwing hammers and hay bales around. So even though they're skinny, there's a lot to their bodies. One family and his sons were packing some weight. I don't know what their secret is. I guess they're corn-fed, and Mama puts out a lot of good food or something, but the rest of the guys were all brawny thin. So I was the only colored guy, and I wore my tan as proudly as they wore their modesty whiteness. No time was wasted in getting the fun started. Gas was added to the pump, and four pulls on the rope, and half a minute later, it was sucking up pond water into the 3-inch pipe and pushing it 30 foot up the hill to a 60-foot water slide. This was quite a contraption. Rusty had dug a good, deep, wide trench, and then he lined it with a black, tough, rubberized membrane, one laying over the top of the other. There was a couple of wooden bridges crossing over the top of it. It was about 3.5 foot deep, and with that 3-inch pump, it was putting out a lot of water. And it was like a small river going down that slide. The slide was probably 60 or 70 foot long, and man, you could pick up some good speed on it. You'd either jump on it and go down on your butt or your belly. Sometimes there'd be guys going down as singles, other times as doubles, sometimes piles of guys going down. They could get kind of rough in this. After a while, they got the idea of walking back up the slide while guys were coming down. And so the trick was, when you saw a body coming down the slide at you, you, at the right moment, jump up high so that they would go under you as you jumped over them. Well, guys were getting enough of that, and after a while they decided the trick was, as the guys would jump up over them, they'd grab one of their legs and pull them down into the slide and into the crowd and into the water. Nobody broke any legs, but it was looking kind of tough. It was, for me, the fun was watching these guys. here were 30 fellas who work hard, long days, all summer long, and this was their chance to get out and act like a bunch of big kids on a playground. And they were yucking it up, good time, laughing and smiling and carrying on. The other big draw was a 125-foot zip line that went across the pond, and even in the middle, it was about a 12 to 15-foot drop into the water. Most of the guys did this. A few, including me, decided to pass on this one. There's also a paddle boat for two, which actually could hold almost 10 guys, and the 3-acre pond got well paddled. They had predicted scattered light showers and possible thunderstorms, and I glanced up and noticed a big puff of cloud coming in from the west, and I was pretty sure I heard distant thunder. There was no visible lightning, but I started to worry. I told several guys, if this gets closer, we need to get out of the water. You don't want to be in a pond full of water with a zip line that could attract lightning and worse. But I could see I was kind of talking to a wall. The other old man, Rudy, 45 years old, I'm 76, so almost 76, he said, Sam, I'm going to leave the party. I've got to get some stuff over at Lewis Kaufman's store. And I said, hey, Rudy, I probably should stick around, watch these guys get fried if the lightning moves in, and yell at them to get out of the water. But I've already said it to everybody, and hopefully they're smart enough to keep an eye on things. So I'll join you in this trip over to Lewis's. I offered to drive him in my van, and we jumped in. And I repeated my warning before leaving to everybody to, hey, if this lightning starts showing up at all, you need to get out of the water. I knew Lewis Kaufman from, 15 years back. He was the only place around where I could get my band saws sharpened for my portable lumber mill. And it was quite a trip up there, but I always enjoyed the trip. And he was good to work with and did an excellent job of sharpening the band saws, blades, and he was also a place where I could buy more of them. At the time, he was milking some cows. He and his wife did most of the milking. They had a bunch of little kids who I remember seeing up there one day playing in a mud puddle and having a ball. But they were just little guys yet. He could cool his milk in a bulk tank. He'd taken an air conditioning unit off a truck and was able to run that to run the condenser that cooled his milk. So he was kind of uptown with his little dairy. And about the last time I went up there, he told me he was starting a store. He'd built a building that was probably 20 by 30. I said, what are you going to sell in the store? He says, oh, it's going to be kind of like an Orchland store, combination of hardware and farm supplies. And later I heard that he'd started milking goats. So I was kind of anxious to get over and see what had happened in the last 15 years since I'd seen Lewis. It started raining on our way over. I said, Rudy, don't worry, my windshield wipers aren't working yet, but whenever it starts raining a little hard, they always kick in. So sure enough, they did. We got over to Lewis's, and it was raining really hard. One of his boys, probably the oldest one, Daniel, came out to the store to help us, which was a good thing because there were almost no windows in it, and it was pitch black. And the aisles were about 2 foot wide, and the shelves were just bent down with stuff. And there's no way we could have found what Rudy was looking for, but Daniel knew where everything was, and he helped us out getting what Rudy needed. And I asked him how the goat business was going, and he said, "Oh, we were milking about 130 goats up till 2 years ago, and then we decided to pull the plug on it. Milk inspector was getting on us to upgrade our facilities, and it just didn't look like things we could do without having electricity. And so we decided to get rid of the goats, and we went into sheep instead." And he said, "I don't miss the goats at all. My dad does." I said, "Yeah, it's probably because you were doing all the milking and your dad was out doing other things." He said, "Yeah, that's probably part of it." So out of the corner of my eye, in the rain, I noticed Lewis. He was unhooking a horse from a buggy. And I went over and said, "You probably don't remember me, but I remember you well. You served me well, keeping my lumber mill going. I really appreciated that." And he said, "Oh, yeah, it comes back to me now." And we chatted a little bit, and I could see he had a long evening ahead of him yet. So I bid him adieu and went back, and Rudy and I started back to the Amish water park. The rain was coming down now in bucketfuls. And when we got back, the guys were all under a little shelter. They had put their clothes on. And after a little bit, the rain let up. They grabbed their things, and they all came running up and jumped into their respective vans, and we started back. The rain was about as hard as I remember seeing a rain in a long time. It was coming down in sheets. I clung to the center of the road everywhere I went, and I was probably only going about 30 miles an hour. We had to backtrack to pick up Mary and Rachel, and then we headed on towards La Plata. Problem is, we came to a railroad crossing, and there was a train stopped, so we couldn't get around it. And I, from memory, realized that sometimes those trains are there a long time, just sitting. I don't know if it was because of the rain or what was going on, but it wasn't going anywhere. So I knew the back roads, and I went back to 3, and we headed south. Called one of the other van drivers. I'm having trouble remembering his name, so I'll just call him Andy too, but I don't think that's right. Anyway, we called him to see if he'd gone south and jumped on Jay, and he had. He said Jay had some low spots, but the water hadn't come up over him yet, and the railroad track was open. So we took the route down, hit Jay, and got over onto 63. It was still raining like heck. We had picked up Mary at the variety store. Andy ran into the store and came out with a big box of Mountain Dew, probably 30 cans, which I always give him a hard time about his Mountain Dew habit. That's probably part of why he's packing on a little bit extra weight. And he said, "Yeah, my wife's got an uncle who wrote a book about all the horrors and dangers of the English diet, and one of them was sodas, and so I hear about it regularly from not just you, but also my wife." And so he says, "I don't drink all this. I share with the guys who work for me." He's got about 8 guys in his business now, and that's their treat, I guess, to help them get through their day. So we jump back in, wet as ever, into the van, and we're on 63. It had not let up at all. We had the road to ourselves. There was just nobody else on it. And like I say, if I was doing 30 miles an hour, I was doing well. The destination now was to get to Moberly. And as we got closer to Moberly, it let up to kind of a sprinkle. Where we were headed was the China Garden. All 30 of the guys wanted to eat at the China Garden's all-you-can-eat buffet. It was 8:30 and it closed at 9, and that didn't slow them down at all. They kept piling stuff on their plates, and so there probably wasn't too much for the workers at the China Garden to throw back in the refrigerator that night after these guys had hit it. They were laughing and teasing and carrying on. A lot of the discussion was about the other English driver, who I named Andy. So I went over and shook his hand. I hadn't gotten to know him yet. The teasing of him was all about the fact that he'd spent the night before in jail. He'd been driving an Amish family around, and he was speeding, and the cops caught him, and he tried to outrun the cops, and his vehicle went off the road, and the cops got him. I don't know what came of the Amish family. I guess the cops took them home, and Andy, the driver, ended up spending the night in jail. I have no tolerance of high-speed chases, either on the part, of course, of the one being chased, and especially on the side of the cops. You know, they've got the guy's license plate. There's cameras everywhere. I just don't understand what the need is to run people off the road so that they can spend the night in jail. I'm sure it's not going to be a good outcome, but I haven't talked to my buddies yet to see what they know about what this English driver, how that story was going to end. They all told me, oh, he's thinking about becoming Amish, and I thought, you better think about twice about letting him become one. I don't think he's quite ready for it yet. So it was good stuff at the, I kind of pitied the waitresses trying to keep track of who was drinking what and how much to charge, and but they figured out it was about $15 a piece, and so they all forked in some cash, and the Chinese garden got their money, and everybody was filled up. They at the door was a stick a dollar in and you might win a stuffed toy. It was kind of a little drop pincher thing that you tried to grab things with, and sure enough, before they were done, one of the guys had gotten a little stuffed toy to take home to his kids, and so everybody was happy and having a good time. It pretty well stopped raining now, and so I backtracked, dropping off the guys at various locations where their homes were. Every place I stopped, the fellow would offer to give me $10-15 for hauling them around, and I've never taken their money on stuff like this. That'd just make me another van driver. One of the fellows said, well, I'll come over and help you do some work sometime, and one of my other buddies said to him, oh, that's a mistake saying that. Last time Sam collected on that, I was over there helping him trim 300 goat's feet, and that is not a fun job. So the fellow laughed and probably wished he could have given me the $10 instead and gotten off easy. Andy, we finally got back to Andy's place, and it was getting kind of late, 10 o'clock. I was watching a storm developing over my way. He didn't want to take the time to get the bales of hay out of the back of the van, so that became my free hay. And he grabbed a can of Mountain Dew out of the box and handed it to me and said, listen, you may need this before you get home to get your eyes back wide open again so you can see the road. It was now... I headed home. No rain until I got south of A City, Armstrong, and then there was a light shower. So I'd called ahead, and Kathleen said, yeah, it's raining light here, but thankfully from Clark all the way to Armstrong, I wasn't driving in any kind of rain. So I kind of shared the highlights of our little trip. I got home at 11:30. I was ready to go to bed, but I shared some of the highlights of the trip to Kathleen. I didn't have to drink this Mountain Dew, so I fell off asleep pretty quick. So that was Sammy's big adventure I thought I'd tell you about. You know, I get together with my sisters and brother-in-laws and cousins, and they always get to tell me about their trips to Ireland and Norway and their cruises to Iceland, and so I thought, well, this is my big adventure for the summer, so I think I'll drop it on you all. Let you know what what I was up to for my big break of the summer. And the next morning, me and 30 other Amish guys in their 20s would all be back to work and putting in a full day. Oh well, there's always next year's summer trip to the Amish water park. I won't tell you about it again, but we'll all be looking forward to it. Thought I'd add a little postscript to this story, because my wife always reminds me of it when I start telling her of my adventures over in Amish country. She says, "And what were all the guys' wives doing all day?" And yeah, this is the men's party, and the wives were home doing laundry and canning tomatoes and watching kids, and they have their fun times too. They do a lot of quilting parties and family get-togethers, but they don't get out to do the fun stuff that the men do. And the men, they work hard, long days, pull in good money for their families, and when they play hard. They do something called frolics, and that's where 20, 30 guys will get together and help somebody put up their house or a barn, and they just turn that into a big party, and they just have more fun doing that. Another fun thing they do is in the winter, in January, they have a big coyote hunt. And in the coyote hunt, 200-300 guys will get together and make a big circle around 300 or 400 acres with their shotguns. And they walk through the center, getting closer and closer as they go and chasing the coyotes ahead of them. And then when they get to the center, bam, 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 and down go 20, 30 coyotes. And to them, that's a big fun time. Spring, when the strawberries come on, that's a big family time and neighboring time. Just about every night of the week, somebody's having homemade ice cream and strawberries, and they all pile in their buggies and head on out for a good time of homemade ice cream and strawberries. The young bucks have kind of a game they play where when they hear about a strawberry party going on, they sneak through the fields and they try and, what do they call it? They don't call it robbing, snitching? Anyway, they try and sneak in and grab the ice cream containers and run off with them. Well, everybody at the party is aware that this could happen, so they're watching for it. And when they see this troop of young Amish boys come and steal the ice cream, then they all go running after them, and get them onto the ground, and start tickling them and smacking them. So for them, that's a big party in the spring when the strawberries come on. I got invited to a family doings of the Gingriches one night, probably 2 years ago. It was a hot, hot night. They promised me good food and homemade ice cream, and so I thought, too hot to do anything else, let's do it. So I arrive over at Andy's, and they start all tumbling in. Ended up there were 25 of us in my poor little old purple van. Hot, 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 hot. But we got to going, went down a lot of gravel roads, and they'd say, "Roll up the windows, it's getting too dusty back here." And 2 minutes later, they'd yell, "Roll down the windows, it's so hot we can't breathe." We got over there, everybody kicked off their shoes, we're walking barefoot through the cool grass, and the ice cream cooled us down, and good sub sandwiches they'd thrown together. It was another night when I didn't get home till 11:30, but they work hard, they play hard. I'm not sure the ladies get to have as much fun as the men do. And that's their culture and the way it is. Makes my wife kind of mad. I put up with it. I can't change it, so I just join in and have fun. All right, thought you'd Thought I'd add that little postscript.